But I do want to thank Nico for putting this workshop together and recognize my colleagues. And I think a lot has already been said about the subject. I'm the program guy. You've heard from the epidemiologists. And I think, you know, the epidemiologists clearly know where to go with the data that they have. So I think we've heard the title. We're going to focus on where the morbidity is, and we've talked a bit about that, and I'll give you a couple of examples. What Jeff said about his slides, it's not to read through every slide, but to make some points on some bigger points on bigger issues. So I've used this slide before, and it's never been more true. That's me back there with all the epidemiologists. So that's the extent of my graphing and abilities. And, you know, it's interesting. I ran the gonorrhea control program and the surveillance program in Allegheny County of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania from 1990 till 1995. So it's quite some time ago. And my I did a lot of surveillance. And the way we did it in those days, we had a sharp pencil and a piece of paper, and we would do tick marks. And we do 1, 2, 3, 4. And now pay attention, because when you get to 5, you do a slash across there, and you restart the process. And then our graphics were, anybody seen an overhead projector? You used to have these clear pieces of paper. So I found a census tract map from 1960 of Allegheny County, and I had some really good magic markers. So I could highlight those, and then I could show those. So. The technology it worked just fine, you know. I mean, but you know, I will say one of the things that I've learned is I knew the data. I was intimate with the data because I did it all by hand. And so, you know, now we see people that have STD-MIS, and you go to a state and you meet with the folks and you say, well, why don't you print out those canned reports and let's talk about them? Well, you know, they didn't really, you know, there's a lot of numbers, but they didn't really have that close. Intimate knowledge of the data and how it worked. So enough of that. So we had some gonorrhea control meetings. We had one-day meetings in 10 regions. We've just wrapped them up. I want to recognize Steve Shapiro. He's the only person that actually went to all 10 of them. I went to 9 of them. And it was a really great learning experience. Let's tell you a little bit about it. We talked to a lot of people in the division of STD before we started having the meetings. They all said, oh, you have to have objectives. You can't have meetings without objectives. So we whipped up some objectives. We want to talk about gonorrhea. We want to learn about gonorrhea. We want to learn about other people's gonorrhea. And that was basically it. John Douglas said, you know, he would say to me, well, how is this going to advance our national agenda for gonorrhea control? And I'd say, well, John, it's not. What it's going to do is help our grantees to think about their gonorrhea and their jurisdiction and to consider some of that. My thoughts was, like I said, in the early 90s, I had run a gonorrhea control program. I came back to the Division of STD in my current role as branch chief of program and training. And, you know, there was IPP, there was syphilis elimination. There really wasn't any gonorrhea. So, you know, I knew about some strategies, but, you know, there really wasn't any talk or discussion. People have changed over. Nobody was really familiar with gonorrhea partner services or any kind of activity. So my focus was really on the strategy. And as we worked through the discussion in the division, one of the things that John said and others said was, well, let's start with the epi. And that was really the right way to go. So a couple things about the meetings. You know, we knew we wanted to set up a meeting. We want to have some structure to it. I had some work with the Division of Adolescent School Health, and they really, you know, they're really good at having a structured meeting and getting specific outcomes. So we adopted a lot of the things that they had done. We wanted to invite the right people. This wasn't a community meeting to talk about, you know, sharing information and talking about the big issues. We wanted to first start off by talking to the decision makers and the epidemiologists about what's going on and give them some space to think and look at their own data. We had a conference call with those STD directors, and we said, well, this is what we want to talk about. We walked through some strategies and other issues, and we said, are there other issues that you'd like to talk about? And in different regions, people said different things. We'd like to talk about jail screening. We'd like to talk about MSM, and we would add those and build those into the process. We've posted everything from these regional meetings on a GC control group at the STD Prevention Online site. How many people have visited that site before? That's great. So if you go on there, you'll see we've got about 100 different documents. We've got the PowerPoints. We've got a lot of the tools from the meeting. So you can go on and see, you know, you name it, whose state, what they presented. So CDC, what CDC did was we prepared, you know, I did a little history talk because, you know, I was familiar with these things, and I thought people should first start and look at the history. We had an epi profile that Linda Gorgo started, and we had a whole group of guest epidemiologists present that. Mark had done that, Nico had done that. You know, a number of folks had filled in that position. And then we talked about interventions and strategies, and that quickly became Steve Shapiro's overview of, you know, what are we actually going to do about it. We had the materials. We've heard from Nico about the draft epi profile guide, so people took that. And then we had a breakout session worksheet. So we would talk. We invited each jurisdiction to get up and talk. And then we had a breakout discussion for each jurisdiction. So Georgia would meet, and they would talk about what they could do in Georgia about gonorrhea. We had homework. We're pretty specific because, you know, if you've ever had a meeting where you invite people to get up and talk, you've got to give them parameters because you're never going to get to the final speaker at 5 o'clock. So we said we wanted 15 slides. We wanted on your epi, on your challenges, and your program activities. And people took that to heart. You know, some went a little bit long, and we know who they are. But, you know, I was really very impressed. And, you know, I think the folks here in the room, either you guys presented or your colleagues from your health departments presented, and those presentations were really, really, really strong. You know, I think you heard some of the enthusiasm from Mark about, you know, oh boy, I could show my gonorrhea slides. So, you know, people did that, and they were good things. It worked out. So we had some logistics. We worked with the IPP regional coordinators and asked them if they could add on a separate meeting with a different crowd, but just have an add-on to the IPP meeting. So it's related to IPP, but it was a little bit different. And then we asked our program consultants to help coordinate each one of those. So that's the way we set it up. Like I said, we had the overview the states presented. Actually, that state presentation was something that evolved. The first meeting was in Savannah in the South. Last May, and we had two presentations about strategies, but then we got to the breakout session and people came into those cold. So we said, you know, we really want to hear from each jurisdiction, making folks do the homework and having them present on what's going on in their state prepared them for that breakout discussion. So by the second meeting, we sort of retooled the structure of the meeting, and that helped. And then the breakout session worksheet, you know, we heard from John Douglas to say, you know, one of the things that we really want to drill down on these consultations we're having is exactly what should we be doing. So we structured it into, you know, first identifying your priority populations. That comes out of the epi profile. Then we're going to talk about, well, what can you do about screening? Is there an opportunity? What about access to care? Is that an issue? With people with symptoms, can they get in and receive services? Partner services. Is there, and that's a broad scale photo, a big picture approach to partner services, not just traditional partner services, but EPT, field delivered therapy, promoting that partners receive services at the provider. Community engagement. We've identified communities through some of the GIS mapping. Others had asked us through those processes to talk about behavioral interventions and MSM. That's just the, you know, we built sort of a prototype of what the meeting was going to look like, the evaluation form, the breakout form, and we just retooled it a little bit for each meeting. So we sort of got our roadshow gig going and retooled it for each session. Like I said, one session was on the history. We talked about that historic GC control program. We had, this is where we sort of put together all those different strategies, and the central circle at the bottom, you really can't read it, but that's surveillance and program evaluation. And then how that ties in and should be used to identify screening and engaging communities. And that all goes up to impact morbidity overall. So we had a framework that we used. And then I said those strategies. And a lot of those were, you know, we realized that a lot of it was dealing with key healthcare providers in those communities. And that all flowed from the surveillance data. So you've identified the community. Then you're going to be talking about screening and treatment. and partner services, and working with those providers in those affected communities. And I think, you know, having followed the other presenters, you can see from their presentations of exactly how that works out with the GIS mapping and the impacted communities. So a couple of quick snapshots of different states and what we heard as we went around. And I'd encourage you to talk to your colleagues that participated in the meetings and ask them what they've done or what they got out of the process. So New York State has actually, you know, there's not a lot of literature about gonorrhea control. People aren't writing articles and publishing it. But New York State has been doing things for several decades. And they've published articles about targeting core areas with partner services, and they've actually identified what those core areas are. They've identified core areas, adjacent areas, and peripheral areas, and I've got some of their maps to show. They define those core areas, you know, so they know what they're trying to, the populations are trying to reach. Here's my hometown, Albany, New York. And there's the red areas. You can see these are the core areas. So they've identified those areas, and the more tan areas are peripheral. Schenectady, another lovely upstate community. I think this is Buffalo. Rochester. Am I getting these right, Allison?
Yes.
Okay, so good. So far, so good. So New York State has an approach. So for their purposes, not all cases are equal. Their plan is to intensely interview core residents. So they're targeting their program resources where the morbidity is. So this is sort of the add-on of what program does with the data. Targeted gonorrhea screening to facilities and providers that serve the core population. And we heard all over and over through the meetings, you know, that we did our GIS mapping, and then we realized here's a community that doesn't have services, or here's a community that we could try to reach. So that's a little more from New York State. And this is really the, you know, what they did with it. So this is Monroe County, that's Rochester, New York. I just showed you their slide with the core areas. So they targeted epi interventions, that's partner services for gonorrhea. And you can see as that yellow line goes up, the reported gonorrhea cases is going down. So that's one intervention, partner services. You know, it's not about enhanced screening. There's other things that they might have done. But here's a direct programmatic application of using that data to target your resources towards where the morbidity is. And you can affect morbidity, and that's what we want to do with STD control. So here's another shot of gonorrhea rates for the state of New York and then Monroe County. Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, Melinda Salmon was what I call a gonoskeptic. You know, we had people get up at the end of the meeting, you know, I was a gonoskeptic. I didn't want to come to this meeting. I'm too busy. I've got syphilis. I've got all these issues. I've got staffing issues. We don't have time to talk about it. But, you know, she did her homework. She had a great epi map. And then they overlaid the services of where the schools were, high screening sites, lower screening sites, and Melinda said, you know, we've got this community over here, a census tract where we really don't know what's going on. So their action was to go and see, you know, are there providers in there? Is there a hospital in there? What can we do to reach that community and provide services? And that's basically all there is to it. You know, it's just following the data and going to where the morbidity is. You know, I would say it's a little bit wordy, but this is what I got from Tennessee, but it's worth reading because, you know, one of the things that they said they were going to do was go back and look at their data. Hey, you know, that's really great. We want people to do that. So they went back and they actually looked at, you know, they were getting more cases of gonorrhea reported, and they found out that, you know, that the 10 care, I think it's their, the managed care organization for Tennessee, that they were implementing, pushing compliance with the chlamydia screening HEDIS measure. And that, gee whiz, you know, they started seeing more cases of gonorrhea. And this is something that we brought back and I've shared with other folks around the division to say, well, you know, maybe the HEDIS screening measure for chlamydia, it might have an impact on gonorrhea. I don't know. You know, they're thinking that might be the case in Tennessee. They're looking a little more in it. If you're doing a dual test based on the gonorrhea, on the chlamydia screening, you know, we could knock out gonorrhea by accident. Wouldn't that be great? Wisconsin, they had a really great presentation. Now, here's the map of Wisconsin. 6,000 cases, and here's Milwaukee, 4,000 cases. So the question is, you know, where do you go in Wisconsin to address gonorrhea? You know, way up here, it's the same thing as the maps for Michigan. So, you know, it's pretty straightforward. They followed up with this slide that said they took all the zip codes with over 100 cases, they listed them, and then they added them up and they said, gee, these 12 zip codes in Milwaukee represent 57% of the gonorrhea in the state of Wisconsin. So the question is, this is the quiz, you know, where do you go to address gonorrhea in Wisconsin? Yeah, so, all right, that, you know, class is over. Kentucky, you know, I didn't actually put a slide together, but in Kentucky they said, you know, bulk of our morbidity is in Louisville. We have a clinic in Louisville, and we're going to start interviewing the men that come, symptomatic men that come to the STD clinic, and we're going to interview the men to find the women. So that's what they did. What we've done was, in those meetings, we asked each state to sit down and say, well, what can you do to address the gonorrhea? We walked through those different strategies. And this is just an example of, you know, from the screening piece, you know, what people are going to do to try to target those areas. So they're definitely using those the data to follow up with screening. And one of the things that I've learned from this whole process is, you know, the better you can describe who's at risk, the better you can target your resources. So you want to be very specific, you know, by, you know, five-year age group, well, maybe by specific age, or, you know, sexual behavior, geography, all sorts of things. You want to be very specific about describing who has morbidity. This is, again, additional data analysis. So many people are going to go back and look at their data. So what are we going to do? So the meeting outcomes, 3 to 6 months, we asked people to develop those action plans. Well, what are we going to do at CDC? You know, I could actually talk about this. I put in for a talk on the GC meetings. I got a poster, so, you know, you got to come to my poster. So this is the pitch, and we can talk about it then. But, you know, we're going to summarize the evaluations. We asked people, what other needs do you have to address GC? So they told us a number of things. We're going to summarize those action plans. We're going to follow up with people. We're going to try to capture, you know, what actually came out of it. Well, okay, well, in Louisville, you know, did that work? So we want to hear back from people that participated in those meetings and see what they're going to do. Many aha moments and fewer gonoskeptics. So that's the word that we invented. Some of the strategies, targeted screening based on your data, I think we talked about that. Both public and private. You know, a lot of managers early on said, you know, we can't do more screening. We don't have money to buy tests. Well, you know, let's use leadership and let's go and talk to people and inform them, you know, these great slick epi profiles and say, you're in a high morbidity area. How can we use the HEDIS measure, you know, use whatever we have to persuade people in the private sector to do more testing? Partner services, you know, I heard from one STD program manager who said, you know, gee whiz, I wasn't going to show you my data. I actually took 3 slides out about partner services because I thought I was really doing a lousy job. One of the things about GC is, you know, the partners, very high positivity. Those partners, 30 to 60%. If you target a core area, you know, in some areas, the majority of those newly examined partners turn up to be infected. It's not like HIV or syphilis. It's very productive. But most of those interviews, you get one contact per case, you know. So, you know, one contact per case is not bad. It's not... you know, that's really a different subject, but, you know, it's having the opportunity to discuss some of these issues and let people hear from their peers was really helpful, I think, for our staff and for local staff. So, you know, just going back and stopping, thinking through those strategies and how do we apply those to the data that we talked about. So thank you.